Good morning and welcome to you all to our service this morning, and a welcome back to Stuart, who is conducting service for us. I'm sure Stuart must be looking forward to next year when he'll be able to return to something more approaching retirement and not be called upon quite so often. As usual, after the service, opportunity to come through to the hall for a cup of tea or coffee and a chat. I think you'll agree the church is looking very Christmassy this morning, and it's good to see the tree up. More of that later, but thanks to all of those who were involved in getting the tree, putting the tree up and decorating the church for Christmas. It's beginning to feel quite festive. And on that note, two or three things. First of all, just a reminder that our Christmas concert is here on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. There's a notice about it there in the bulletin, so you can read the details there, but if you're free, please do come along. The church Christmas card is at the back. Some folks have signed it already, but if you haven't, then please take the opportunity. It's our way of saying Happy Christmas to each other. I should have mentioned last week, and I didn't. I realised afterwards that the card actually was made by Margaret McConaughey, so thanks to her for that, making the card for us. And the Christmas cards that we are delivering around the parish, again, thanks to those who have volunteered to do it, we've just about covered every area in the parish. There's a small handful round about the Loch Na Bow area. If anybody's able to deliver in that area, speak to me after the service and we'll get that last little gap plugged. But thanks for that. If for any reason you haven't received a card yourself, then there's some on the table at the welcome table at the back, and you can put one, you can pick one up from there. You'll remember that Grant, coming last week, was asking people to who might be prepared to do the prayers for the church if they put their name on the list that he's left on the table at the back. Grant's not going to be around for a few weeks for various reasons, so there are a number of names on there, but there's also a number of gaps. So if you've something you feel you could do to do the prayer for the church one Sunday morning, then just fill your name in on the sheet. All the details of our own Christmas events are on here, and we'll put them into the bulletin for next week, and we'll mention that as well, that there is a Christmas Day service at Belly at 10 o'clock. We're not having a Christmas Day service ourselves here for the very good reason that there was nobody available to conduct the service. But if you want a Christmas Day service, then feel free to join the folks at Belly. They'd be very glad to see you, I'm sure. Thank you.
The psalmist calls us to worship. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing to his name, for he is gracious. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does in heaven and on earth, in the seas and all deeps. We open our worship to God this morning with CH4 270, Put All Your Trust in God.
Thank you.
Chris, if you'd like to come forward and light the third Advent candle, please. Feels just like yesterday when we're lighting the first one. Thank you very much, Chris. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are the one whose love is working through all creation. Jesus Christ, Son of God, you are the one in whose likeness we shall be made new. Holy Spirit, you are the one who touches our lives with hope. O Lord God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we pray that you receive our worship, that you reclaim us for your service, and that you set us free to honor you today. May glory be to you, our God, now and for always. Father eternal, giver of light and grace, we humbly confess that we have sinned against you and against our neighbors, both near at hand and far away. We have sinned in what we have thought, in what we have said and done, in what we left unsaid and undone. We have sinned through ignorance. We have sinned through weakness. We have sinned through our own deliberate fault. Father God, we have wounded your love, and we have blemished your image within us. And we are sorry and ashamed, and we repent of our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, we pray that you forgive us what is past, and to lead us out from darkness to walk as children of light. Most gracious God, as you have affirmed our place among believers, strengthen us and all your people by the ever-present witness of your Spirit, that we may honor Christ in our words and in our deeds to the glory of your holy name. And in the words that Jesus himself taught us, we now pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, you may have noticed there's a Christmas tree here. It's already got some fine decorations on it, but we're going to decorate it further. And it's doves this year, and there's these rather special ones from Christian Aid. And I'm sure you've been shown what to do. You can do it in secret and put it on the inside, and then we can come out and hang them up. However, I would like to say something about that. By all means, put in your own special prayer. But could I ask you to also add, I mean, there's two sides to it, so there's plenty of room. Could you also ask you to put in a prayer for the people of the Yemen who are undergoing such a dreadful time at this present day, and especially for the women and the children who are suffering terribly. So please, could you add a prayer for the Yemen? And I'll ask you now to start coming out and hanging your doves on the tree. Well, that's looking rather splendid, isn't it? Thank you very much. Let us worship God again in CH4 277. Hark the glad sound, the Saviour comes.
Thank you.
Let us join again in prayer. Let us pray. God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom alone comes everlasting joy and peace, fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation and send us into the world as peacemakers and witnesses to your promises through Jesus Christ our Lord. And let us pray to God in hope, looking for the coming of Christ to every person, especially in this season of Advent. Heavenly Father, we pray for all Christians in all congregations, and we thank you for the special service to which each one is called. We pray for the Church in Scotland, that it may find through the power of the Holy Spirit a renewed strength and enthusiasm to proclaim and live out your gospel of love and hope through all its departments and agencies. We pray for all the ministers and office bearers in the Kirk, that they may be inspired by the Holy Spirit to work for your kingdom, that they may see beyond narrow concerns, that they may find a new enthusiasm for your discipleship and be freed of the burden of man-made duty to non-spiritual things. And we pray for the nations of the world, remembering especially before God those people who exercise power and authority. We ask that your Holy Spirit may inspire them to exercise their authority for the good of all people, in a true response to their call to public duty. We pray for peace in the world and ask that your Holy Spirit guide the peacemakers patiently to build bridges between nations and peoples so that killing can stop. And in particular today, we pray for the people of Yemen, and especially the children. We ask that the opposing sides may see sense and work together in a spirit of humanity. And we ask your protection for the peacekeepers, that they be granted courage and comfort and insight. Hear us, Lord, as we pray for our own country, for our Queen and her governments, for our industry and agriculture, and especially for those who harvest the seas. And we pray for all those who are involved in education and healing. We pray for help to be given wherever there is need throughout the world. Let us take our stand before God with the millions who are sick in body or in mind, with the undernourished, with the uneducated, with ill-equipped and the unemployed and homeless. And we ask that efforts may never cease to relieve the misery, and that we never forget that there are millions who need our help daily. And let us now focus our prayers on individuals known to us, friends, neighbors, family, members of our community, all those whom we love both near at hand and far away. Let us pray for people who have asked us to pray for them, and the people who have not asked, who would not ask, but who still need our love and need your love. And we now name them in silence before you. Remember, Lord, all whom we remember, and forget none whom we forget. And let us entrust ourselves to God, who can use our words and our actions in his answer to our prayers. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Redeemer, we ask all these things. Amen.
We sang these words in our opening hymn. Leave to his sovereign sway, to choose and to command. Then you shall marvel at his way, how wise, how strong his hand. We've been praying for our church during the past almost 3 years, and as we look back, I think we can see the truth of these words, but they hold true for us as we look forward as well. So with that thought, let's make our prayers for our church. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the way that you have led us to the situation that we're in today and to the prospect of having Atje van Wyk coming very soon now to be our minister for the year that he will spend with us. We thank you that as we have prayed week by week in church, as we have prayed privately in our own homes, that you have heard our prayers and you have answered our prayers in a way that we hadn't expected. And for that, we give you thanks. We pray for the future. And we pray, first of all, for the Christmas season that we have embarked on. We thank you for all the services and events which will focus on Christmas. And through it all, we pray that you will help us to focus on the true meaning of Christmas. We do get caught up with all the preparations and the busyness, and we recognize that we need to take time, we need indeed to make time to spend quietly rereading the story, reflecting on it, meditating on it, and allowing you to rekindle in us the sense of wonder at this thing that you have done for us in sending your Son. So be with us over our Christmas period, and then as we look further beyond, we pray for Atje as he is preparing to leave his congregation in South Africa. We thank you that all the paperwork and the documentation and the formalities have been completed and the way is clear for him to come. We ask that you will be with him and his congregation as they spend these last few weeks together, and that that might be a special time for them. And then we pray for the future that we move into. We have got some notion of the shape it might be, of the things we might be carrying on with, the things we might be starting. But we pray that as we, as a congregation, together with Atje, our leader, ponder how we should move forward in the weeks and months ahead, we simply ask that you would help us together to discern your will and your way, so that by what we do and by what we say, we might indeed spread the good news of Jesus to our communities. And we ask it in the name of him whose coming we celebrate. Amen.
We join together to sing CH 4290, "The Race That Long in Darkness Pined."
The first reading today is from Isaiah chapter 42, verses 1 to 9. "Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged until he establishes justice on earth. In his law the islands will put their hope. This is what God the Lord says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and will make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, and new things I declare before they spring into being, I announce them to you. And from the New Testament, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 12, verses 15 to 21. Aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. And the reason it says that is the sentence before, which we're not reading, is says the Pharisees went out and plotted how they might kill Jesus. So aware of this, Jesus withdrew from that place. Many followed him, and he healed all their sick, warning them not to tell who he was. This was to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet Isaiah. Here is my servant whom I have chosen, the one I love, in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will proclaim justice to the nations. He will not quarrel or cry out. No one will hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smouldering wick he will not snuff out till he leads justice to victory. In his name, the nations will put their hope. Amen.
Thank you, Sheila. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Isaiah chapter 42, verses 6 to 7. I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations, to open the eyes that are blind. I realized a few days ago that I had not connected up something I'd meant to do when I spoke to you the last time about Jeremiah. You had a long historical talk, and I felt guilty that I hadn't actually tied things together. I forgot to make an important point. Jesus' listeners would have been aware of the situation in Jeremiah's time, most of them. So when Jesus was saying to the people in the temple, "You've made my house a den of thieves," he was referring right back to what Jeremiah had said. And so the people who were listening to him would have been aware that he was also criticizing them for having failed God in the same way as the Jews in Jeremiah's day, who were treating the temple to lip service, but were carrying on evil lives, greedy, cruel lives, and really ignoring God's commandments. And today we've got Matthew looking back to Isaiah to do much the same thing, so that when he quotes Isaiah, people would have known the background from whom it's come. So we've got to remember that the people, the Jews, they did know their Old Testament very well indeed. Our main reading today, is from the book of Isaiah. And it takes a bit of getting into. Because the book is not really one book, but three books. Or rather, this is a book with three authors who wrote bits of it at different times and under different circumstances. Chapters 1 to 39 were written in Jerusalem before the Jews were taken into exile in Babylon, and is largely a warning of the disasters that are about to fall upon the people who've turned their backs on God. And the writer of that first part is usually referred to as the Jerusalem Isaiah. Chapters 40 to 45, the ones from which our reading was taken, were written over 40 years later when the Jews were actually in exile in Babylon. And this writer for this section is referred to as Second Isaiah. We know absolutely nothing about him apart from the probable date of 540 BC for his actual writing. And the last chapters, 56 to 66, were written some years later when the Jews had returned to Jerusalem and Judah, and they were written probably by disciples of the second Isaiah. So our particular reading this morning was from second Isaiah. As I said, the Jerusalem Isaiah was a prophet of doom and righteous punishment. But second Isaiah is a prophet of hope and redemption. What brought about this change? Well, by the time that 2 Isaiah was writing, as I said, about 540 BC, the Babylonian Empire was crumbling. It was under very serious threat and attack from the Persians under the great King Cyrus. Cyrus was a very able general indeed. He conquered a lot of peoples, but he was also a man of different character to many other generals and rulers. And it was Cyrus who said that the Jews could return to their homeland of Judah and their capital, Jerusalem. He was prepared to let the people go. So, Second Isaiah was living at a time of optimism and hope, and that's what he wrote about. And one of Second Isaiah's great themes is that of the Lord's servant. And it is through this servant that God's will shall be accomplished. As Christians, we automatically think of Jesus as the servant, and he certainly fulfilled the role. And of course, Matthew saw it that way, as we read this morning. However, we would be missing important aspects. Second Isaiah has been described as one of the world's greatest poets, and his work is an amalgam of poetry and prophecy. When I was looking at this and reading about the complexity of it, I remember my old professor, Prof. Duthie of Aberdeen, saying at the end of a very demanding lecture on Macbeth that had all us first-year students totally at sea, he said, "You cannot expect the greatest genius of drama to be simple." And the same can be said for Second Isaiah. Scholars have argued over the years about whether the Lord's servant is an individual or a group. And they also argue about whether the servant's prophecies relate to 2 Isaiah's contemporary situation, or if they have more universal application. Well, in the opening verses of our Old Testament passage, it would certainly seem that the servant is an individual. God says, "I have put my spirit upon him. He will bring forth justice to the nations." And the passage continues to refer to the servant in the singular, he and his. But then suddenly at verse 5, there's a change. There's suddenly a much wider stage. "Thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out and spread forth the earth and what comes from it. And God then declares, I am the Lord, I have called you to righteousness, I have taken you by the hand and kept you, I have given you as a covenant to the people, a light to the nations. And these are the kind of words that you address to a people. People who are chosen by God and with whom there is a covenant. And this envisages the servant as the people of Israel who are called to carry out God's will in freeing humanity. And this is quite an extraordinary thought, because we know that even in Jesus' day, the Jews shunned non-Jews. They had as little as possible to do with them. Yet here is God telling them that as a people, they were to be a light to the nations. And this links in with what God said of the servant earlier. He will not fail or be discouraged till he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands wait for his law. Perhaps in your version of the Bible there, it says the islands wait for his law. It's been suggested that in the course of their exile in Babylon, the Jews were exposed to a much bigger world. Their world was no longer confined to Judah and Jerusalem, but instead they would have had to deal with people from many lands, and they would have learned about these places. So God is asking his servant to spread his message of redemption and reconciliation to peoples far and wide. It's a sad business, of course, that after the exiles returned to Jerusalem, they became increasingly xenophobic, despising people like the Samaritans. So how has God's plan, as passed on by 2 Isaiah, worked out? I don't think that's the real question. I think the real question is, how is God's plan working out? The trouble with us, we are trained to think chronologically. One event will follow another. For us, yesterday has gone, today is today, tomorrow is another time. But time has no relevance for God. He is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Thus, his plans are still working out. As he says in verse 9, behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare, before this spring forth, I tell you. We are looking forward to celebrating the birth of the Messiah. And as I said, Matthew certainly saw Jesus as the Lord's servant. Jesus came not as a conqueror, but as a caring, loving friend. By patience and love, the Lord's servant will achieve God's will and encourages us to follow him. Amen. All praise be to God, to Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. We shall now make our gifts to God. The offering will be uplifted while we remain seated and sing CH4 291, When Out of Poverty is Born. Let us pray. Eternal God, in dedicating these gifts to the service of your Son's Church, we dedicate also ourselves. And we pledge that we will live this week in the service of Christ and in the strength of the help that the Holy Spirit gives us. Almighty God, we give thanks for your many blessings. We thank you for the glories of your creation and for our place in it. We thank you for your everlasting mercy shown to us in the life, suffering, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we praise you, Lord, for all those known to us who taught us about your love. We give you thanks for all those dear to us who've passed through the gate of death to rejoice in your house with many rooms. Keep us one with them in faith, in hope, and in love, bearing our witness to your mercy day by day. We make all our prayers through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We close our worship this morning by singing CH4 273, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. Let us look forward in hope to the coming of our Saviour. Let us prepare the way for Christ our Lord. Let us welcome him with love and faith when he comes in glory. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst us and remain with us always.